Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
If you're an HVAC technician and a call comes in, Grainger knows that you need a partner that helps you find the right product, fast and hassle-free. And you know that when the first problem of the day is a clanking blower motor, there's no need to break a sweat. With Grainger's easy-to-use website and product details, you're confident you'll soon have everything humming right along. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, just when you think it can't get any worse, it gets worse. So, John, with you here on the wrap-up show, just me tonight, solo edition. Jim has the night off. He had the day off on the radio. He's got the night off here tonight. So make your way in. We'll react to it all. Dylan Cease against his former team does not get the job done, nor does the offense. And the Padres at this point obviously are not winning the NL West. So make your way in. Subscribe. Year-round content for Padres fans, as you guys know. Smash the like button, follow me on X at John Schaefer, and thank you for the super chats. The only way for me to keep up with the chat, obviously, is going to be with the super chat. So if you support the channel, if you want to see your comment on screen, if you want to control the direction of the conversation, if you want to vent, whatever you want to do on this Friday night, click that dollar sign below the chat box. If you want to become a member, you get the emojis, you get the badges. Click the join button down below. I've been thinking about this game for the last hour, and like, where do you even start? Obviously with Dylan Cease, but what I mean by that is where do you even start? I mean, like with how this has played out, you know, 9-15 in their last 24 games, I think 6-8 in their last 14 games against teams under 500. I mean, you're playing. It's one thing to lose to the Mets who are hungry and need it. It's another thing to lose to the White Sox tonight. With all the motivation in the world, by the way, I mean, the Padres haven't clinched anything. The Padres still are technically alive or were for a division. They'll still be alive even after tonight, even with the Dodgers on their way to beating the Giants tonight in Kershaw's final start. But like, how do you not show up for this game is what I was trying to think about. And they didn't, you know, against this woeful White Sox team that has completely punted on the year. They've lost six straight. They've got the worst record in the American League. You've got all the motivation in the world. You've got Dylan Cease's return to Chicago. You have Gavin Sheets. I mean, you have everything seemingly to play for. You're a week away from playing postseason baseball. You would think that you'd be motivated to play well into the postseason. It's not the end-all be-all. I've talked about it. You don't have to win in the days leading up to the postseason to win in the postseason, but you'd think you'd want to. And here we are a day later from, you know, yesterday talking about this in the game three against the Mets. Here we are a day later, and you're like, listen, they're going to make the postseason. All right. Quote me on it. I'll guarantee it. I think they probably would make it by not winning another game, because Cincinnati would go like 4-4 and the Padres would be in. The Padres are going to win another game. But like, they're really like testing our faith, so to speak. They're going to make the postseason. They've got a 95% likelihood to be the number five seed as opposed to the number six seed. They have no shot of winning the division. They have no shot of being the four seed. So, I mean, it's all baked in, so to speak. Maybe they're feeling the same thing that we're all kind of feeling, which is they're going to be the five seed and they're destined for it and they're playing out the string. And we've all kind of felt that here in September. It's like, what's kind of really going on? It feels like the Padres haven't had anything to play for, but they have. If they would have taken advantage of any of these opportunities, they would have passed the Dodgers a long time ago. Like I just said, they're 9-15 in their last 24 games. If they were 15-9 down the stretch, I mean, is that asking that much for a team that's in a division race to close their season playing well post-trade deadline with everything to play for? I mean, think about that. As opposed to this 9-15 stretch, if they were 15-9, they win this division, probably going away. They'd be three games up right now in this division. So it's just, it's disappointing. You've heard us say that obviously before over the last handful of years. They've had these opportunities. It's not like every year they've been 25 games out. I mean, you look at recent history, they've had chances to be in this division race a couple of times. 2020, I get it, short season. Certainly last year they were in that race. They're late. And then this year it's like the door was just open the entire way and they just wouldn't walk through it. And this is, by Dodger standards, a very pedestrian team that's going to win 90 games. And they're going to win this division by multiple games, by winning 90 games. And, you know, Padres right now are 83-71. Like, think about that for a second. And I apologize, by the way, if I'm having any internet issues. Let me know if I am. I have like one bar. Anything that can go wrong will go wrong. But like, think about the fact that the Padres are 83-71. They started the year 14-3. So they started the year 11 games over 500. And from that point on, they're one game over 500. Thank you, NorCal, for letting me know. So from that point on, they're one game over 500. So, I mean, think about that. That was 17 games into the year. They've now played 154. So over the last 137 games, 137, what is that, 69-68? We're doing that right? Yeah, 69-68. Not that nice. That's who they've been. Just straight. Straight across 500 team. Yes, there's been highs and yes, there's been lows. I mean, there was a 14-3 to start August, and now there's this trash, right, to finish up September. And now I don't even know what we're looking for here over the final 8 days of the regular season. What are we looking for? Looking for Michael King to pitch effectively on Sunday? Are we looking for, the book's written on Dylan Cease. He's untrustworthy in the postseason. I don't think the book's fully written on Yu Darvish, who's been up and down. I don't think the book is fully written on Michael King, although there's reasons not to have faith based on what we saw, obviously, this past week against the Mets. You know, you want to see this offense get going? I mean, in what regard? It's like yesterday they scored a run. Today against this woeful White Sox team, yes, their starter was fine. He had a 4 ERA. You know, three runs in this game. By the way, chances for many more. Running into an out there in the 4-3 game on the strikeout, double play in the seventh. Chances to score more when they scored the pair of runs whenever it was in the fourth inning. Listen, some of you probably were watching or listening to John and Jim this afternoon. And so I was watching the game. The game started at 4:40. I was on the air until 6. So I'm watching and I'm talking. So it's hard to really be fully dialed in. I'm not listening to the radio broadcast. I'm not watching the television broadcast. But there was a moment in time. Tell me if anyone else saw this. There was a moment in this game, and it was either 2-2 or 3-2. Padres tie it up. Now you're looking for a shutdown inning from Dylan Cease. He hits a pair of batters for whatever reason. And that opens the floodgates to the two-run scoring. But there was also this moment where let me know how it happened. Was it a pop-out a pop-up in foul territory? I don't know if it was bunted or popped up. I think it was popped up. I don't think it was bunted. And it seemed like Machado, like, to use like the Bull Durham term, like just kind of like lollygagged over towards the ball, didn't run. I mean, forget about sprinting, didn't run. And then the ball landed like 5 feet from his feet. And I didn't have the volume. I didn't hear the commentary and I didn't see a ton of reaction on social media, but it looked very odd to me. Kind of like a business decision, so to speak, which, okay, I get the postseason is more important than you diving for this ball in Chicago where everything has already been written. You're not winning the division, whether you make that play or not. You're not anything other than the five seed, whether you make that play or not. But I mean, shouldn't you at least appear as if you are hustling? Like even if it's eyewash, like, shouldn't you at least have the appearance of hustling? Otherwise, what are you doing? DH, take another day. If this is all meaningless, if this is all an exercise in futility for the remainder of the regular season, then what are we pretending to be doing right now? So that just doesn't make any sense to me. Now, I can't fully go all in on this because I didn't watch it in real time with the commentary, and I haven't even fully wrapped my mind around the entire circumstance there. Was it 2-2 or was it 3-2? I forget. I know another run scored after this play. I know it was a critical out, obviously, in the game that they didn't obviously get because he didn't even make a play on the ball for whatever reason. But was it not a very odd moment if you watch this? I mean, was it not? It was one of the oddest things I've ever seen. And not ever, but it was very bizarre to me. And I don't want to make it the whole hour-long show, but I mean, what message are you sending when you're not going after a ball that seemingly is catchable? I don't understand. I really don't understand. Like, I'm at a loss for words when I watch something like that. And as I've said for years, listen, Manny Machado's done a lot of good. He'll be remembered most likely fondly in San Diego, regardless of whether he wins or not in the postseason. He'll compile numbers that have been rarely compiled in baseball history, let alone Padres history. He'll have 3,000 hits and 500 home runs. This combination is not an easy one, right? But geez, there are some moments where you're like, what on earth is going on with Manny Machado? I mean, are there not just some moments where you're like, are you serious? You're not even gonna give the appearance of running down a line. You're not even gonna give the appearance of hustling for a ball in foul territory that you came within 5 feet of, just walking over to it or lightly jogging over towards. It was just bizarre to me. And it's just, I don't know, a bad look, you know, not that that's the end all be all, not that it's going to define their entire season, but you start going down this path. Like, I'm reading some of these quotes post game, and I didn't hear Schill post game, but I've seen some of the quotes in Kevin's article. And like, there's some concerning things that are being said, in my opinion. I'm not talking about clubhouses being lost. I'm just saying yesterday, Randy Vasquez was pissed off about being taken out in the third inning with one out. Why wouldn't he be? Read the quotes post-game in Kevin's article. He was as surprised as anyone that he was taken out. He wasn't in on it. Like, Schilt said, hey, it's a playoff game. We need to win it. Well, nobody told Randy Vasquez. And then today, Schilt's talking about the urgency, right, post-game. I can find some of these quotes here in Kevin's article. By the way, I'll get to the super chats. Appreciate you guys. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. I'll make sure to get to your super chats tonight. Appreciate your support. And please subscribe to this channel. Seriously, got 10 days to go or whatever the regular season. We were hoping to get to 10,000 subscribers this season. It ain't happening because of the Padres unless they make a run in the postseason. So if you wouldn't mind subscribing, I'd appreciate it. Here's a quote from Schilt. On this loss, it's not a good recipe for consistent winning baseball. It comes back to similar ingredients, going out and not being able to get early leads and getting some crooked numbers on the board. We've got to continue to take consistent at-bats and be able to do that throughout the game. Okay, that's a stupid quote. Okay, here we go. Here's more from Schilt. We know we're capable of coming back. Made a push tonight. We just are having trouble consistently getting into the rhythm of the game and getting our footing. You know, it's kind of inexplicable. He said that. It's kind of inexplicable. The first inning damage we're giving up, but it's happening, and we've got to figure out a way to change our trajectory on that. We've got to figure out a way to get on top of the game and play with a little more rhythm and be able to get a lead and add on and have some shutdown innings and bring the game home with the back end of the bullpen. I'm confident it's going to happen, but it needs to happen soon. So even Schilt is recognizing that there are some alarming trends that are playing out right now. By the way, I think 11 times in their last 32 games, the Padres have allowed a first inning home run. That's an absurdly high percentage of games that they've allowed a first inning home run. In those 11 games in which they've allowed a first inning home run, they're 1-10. So like this game can be, you can make it overly complex. It's not hard. You don't score first, by and large, you don't win. You do score first, by and large, you do. Like, boil everything down. I could pull up the Padres game notes right now. I guarantee if I look at when the Padres score first, they've got a good record. I bet when I look at when the Padres don't score first, they don't have a good record. And when you're falling behind in the first inning, you might pretend like you got 8 or 9 innings where you can come back in the game. Guess what? The indicators still aren't good. Like, when you do not score first, the indicators are not good. Here, I got the game notes in front of me right now. Surprise. When the Padres score first, 52-31. What's that winning percentage? 625, roughly, because going five for eight at the plate, the 625 average, 52-31, roughly a 625 winning percentage. When they don't score first, 31-39. What's that winning percentage? What's 3 divided by 7? You know, what is, was that 420 baseball, 430 baseball? It's actually not as bad as most teams would be when not scoring first. But, I mean, that's all you got to know. Score first, you're going to win. You don't, you got a good chance of losing. I mean, it's sometimes we oversimplify it. And they have been falling behind way too often. And when they fall behind, by the way, they've been falling behind by multiple runs. Yesterday in New York, that big inning in the third. Today, a couple of early runs. It's just very troubling and very concerning is what it is. So we can react to it all. I'll be with you here for the next hour. If you want to weigh in, I'd love to hear from you. Click the dollar sign below the chat box. We'll get your super chats. If you just want to vent, if you have something on your mind, if you got a question, comment, whatever, concern, something, a positive spin, click the dollar sign below the chat box. JD's third is with us here tonight. He says, Dodgers just clinched postseason berth with Arizona laws. Bob Scanlon said, our Padres have champagne on ice for when we clinch. We expect deep run, not wild card exit. I mean, they should have champagne on ice for when they clinch. It's almost like a requirement of Major League Baseball. That stuff is like sponsored by Budweiser. Like they'll have all the, they'll have the goggles, they'll have the beer, they'll have the champagne. I mean, it's like a requirement. I've never really seen the example of a team clinching and not celebrating. Maybe the Mets of 2022, and that completely backfired on them. They should celebrate. I mean, when the Padres clinch a spot, and it's a when, not an if, for me, they will have earned it. They're not going to be likely the last team in. They'll win, what, 86-plus games? I mean, it's basically what they were expected to do. How many people really thought this was going to be a 93-win team this year? We talked about in the preseason heading into the year. Very few people thought they'd replicate 2024. We knew how they finished. I think me and Jim both said they would win between 86 and 88 games was our expectation. Well, guess what? They go 4-4 down the stretch. They win 87 games. What did Vegas say about this team? They had them at what? Pegged them at 87, 88, 86. So, like, they kind of are who a lot of people thought they were, but they've gone about it in a unique manner. They started 14-3. They got your hopes up. They had a trade deadline, which by all accounts at the time was a successful trade deadline. They play good baseball into the deadline and out of it. Another 14-3 stretch. They take over first place in the NL West. Multiple times. They're seemingly getting over the hump. They apparently at one point a month ago were trending for 93 wins. And now they've taken a step back at the worst time, potentially, which is September, where they're now 9-15 in their last 24 games. So I think they should celebrate it when they clinch because it's still going to be a good enough year. But of course, a lot of this is predicated on the postseason, whether it's LA, San Diego, Philadelphia, Toronto, Mets, Yankees, Red Sox, you get the point. Milwaukee, a lot of it's predicated on the postseason, especially in today's baseball. 30 years ago, 4 teams are in the postseason, right? NL East, NL West, AL East, AL West. Making the postseason was quite an accomplishment 30 years ago. Then it gets watered down with a wild card. Then it gets more watered down with multiple wild cards. It's become a little bit like the NCAA tournament where you can go 30-3 in the regular season if you're Kentucky, but you cannot lose in the first or second round when you're Kentucky and you go 30-3. So like you can win 100 games in the regular season, but look at the Dodgers of 2022 and 2023. They bowed out in the DS unexpectedly to San Diego and Arizona. Is that a successful year because they won 100 games in the regular season? Let me answer that. No. So I don't care if you're winning 86 games or you're winning 106 games. The expectations, by and large, for playoff teams are to win in the postseason. And that's clearly the case here in San Diego because they've had cracks in the postseason this decade, and everyone is looking for that next step. You know, we get it. One team wins the World Series. It's not easy. They've never done it. I don't know if it's truly a World Series or bust. I mean, it doesn't feel like that right now. Now you're just kind of praying, can they win a playoff series? Can they potentially go further than that? But listen, I mean, you can have a good year by winning a couple of series in the postseason. I mean, you get to the NLDS, you get to the World Series. I mean, we'd be fooling ourselves to say that's not a good year. But I'm in the camp of you got to win a World Series at some point with Manny Machado. I'm in the camp of, you know, not that this is the only year in which the Padres are going to be in the postseason, but I don't think it gets easier necessarily in 2026 and beyond as Machado, you know, ages, and it only gets more challenging potentially. I don't think it gets easier in the years ahead. JD MLSR 2000. Thank you, man. Appreciate your support of the channel. He says, seems like the scouting report is out on the Padres. Put up some runs against them in the first few innings. They can't come back like the 24 team. Here's my question, and I think it's a fair point, like the point I kind of made earlier. It's like, listen, this isn't rocket science. You take a two-run lead on anyone in baseball, and you've got a 60-plus percent chance of winning that game. Like, I don't care who you're playing. That's just how the sport works. So, like, but here's the bigger question. How is it that you're falling behind so often in, the same manner? How is it you're allowing as many home runs as you are in the first three innings of games? Like, what's the reasoning? You have five or six or seven different starting pitchers over the last month when you include Sears and Vasquez in that equation, and they're all dealing with the same issues. I see some of the commentary on social media even here tonight, like, oh, it's Freddie Fermin. Ever since Fermin got here, they've been allowing more first-inning home runs. I mean, is it really that simple? They're allowing more first-inning home runs because of Freddie Fermin? That doesn't seem to make any sense to me. So how do we really explain it? It's not one player slumping. It's not Manny Machado going 3-for-39 with three singles. It's a staff slumping. We saw in May a bullpen that slumped. Remember, they were bad. Their bullpen was bad in May. There was a two-week stretch. Like, what happened to the elite bullpen we saw in April? And then they returned to form, by and large, until they dealt with injuries again. Jason Adam, David Morgan, now Estrada has struggled since that Dodgers series in August. But it's just, it's hard to really wrap your arms around. Like, it's almost like self-fulfilling. It's like, because it's happened so often, it's going to happen again. But that doesn't really make any sense. I mean, even tonight, Dylan Cease gets a benefit of an out at third on an overslide in the first inning after a single, and then the next batter homers. Like, you got a break. You got an out at third that you didn't even deserve. Later in the game, he gets another free out at third out of caught stealing. And still think about that. He got multiple outs on the bases and still allowed four runs in six innings against the White Sox. And he got, of the 18 outs he recorded, two of them, 11%, right? Yeah, two out of 18, one out of nine. 11% of his outs were recorded on the bases. And maybe I'm missing one. Maybe there's more. And he still is unable to put together that complete outing you're looking for. I think I saw on social media he's had 8 quality starts in 30 starts. Now, we get it. Baseball starters aren't asked to do as much as they were even 10 years ago or 5 years ago. But 8 quality starts in 30 starts. There's only been 15 instances, I think, in baseball history of someone making 30 starts and only having 8 of them being quote-unquote quality. So he's been awful, truthfully. Considering what the expectations were for Dylan Cease this year, you know, I'm not saying he's the worst starter in baseball. It's just when you consider what the expectations are or were to the way he performed this year, like that difference, that's a gaping difference. That is a wide difference from the expectations for Cease and the way he pitched this year. And that's disappointing. And you're not going to see him again in the Padres uniform after who the hell knows. I mean, you might not see him again in the Padres uniform after his final regular season start, truthfully. Next week against the Brewers. Is it the Brewers? Yeah. Next week against the Brewers, you might not see him again in a Padres uniform. Hopefully you do, because that means they're winning some games. But there's no guarantee we're going to see Dylan Cease more than one additional time. And just like from the feeling you had when they traded for him and the year he put together in 2024, you had the bitter taste of the postseason. We all get it. But I never thought he wasn't going to help this team win in the regular season of 2025. The whole question for me was, can you help this team in the postseason? Like, that was the whole thing. I would have written off his success in the regular season in 2025 and said, prove it to me in the postseason. But now that he didn't do it in the regular season, how can I have any faith he's going to do it in the postseason? I mean, the only reason you turn to him is because you need to turn to him. You're right. That's the only reason you're turning to him in the postseason, because where else are you turning? And they just don't have a lot of good options. David, appreciate you, says he basically said they need to get good. You're talking about Shilly. Yeah, it's like, you know, it's one thing to say, you can say whatever the hell you want. It's another thing to do. And it's also one thing to say something on someone else's behalf. You've heard me use this analogy before, maybe, if you've been with me for a while on John and Jim or the Wrap-Up Show. It's like when I say, Jim doesn't smoke, but I'll use the analogy. If I say, Jim, you really should stop smoking. Like, dude, you're killing yourself. Like, this is bad for you. It's bad for your family. But I can't make Jim stop smoking. He's got to make himself stop smoking, right? Like, it's just how it works. Until the person says, hey, this is on me, I'm going to handle this issue. It's gotten to a point where it's impacted my health or my family or my fine, whatever the reason is. Ultimately, someone makes a decision. They're either going to smoke or they're going to stop. Yeah, I can want it as bad as anyone. Man, I really wish you'd stop this. But it's kind of the same thing. It's like Shill can say whatever he wants, but that doesn't mean that he's going to get the response he's looking for from his team. I mean, right? I mean, he's not even playing. Like, he's managing. So, and by the way, you could say the same with some of the players, but this is even like a step removed from that. Like, he's not in the clubhouse. He's in the manager's office. And even the players can say whatever they want to say. They still need to then take what they're saying and obviously, you know, take that and turn it into actions on field. So, yeah, I mean, I can say whatever. I can say, hey, the Padres need to stop allowing first inning home runs. That's the same thing as Mike Schilt saying, hey, we need to turn this around quickly. What good is it going to do? Mike Schilt's been saying this for a month. So what good is it going to do? JD's, see, I completely disagree. JD's third is on this, like, I don't even know, but you're on like this long rant, like that the season's over and I told you so. But he says the season was over when Manny said his stats don't matter. What happened to the back of his baseball card? He's disappointing as a captain and a leader. I don't think the season is over. Like, I've never thought a team's regular season performance guaranteed anything in the postseason. Were we guaranteed a World Series title because the Padres were the best team in baseball last year for the final 60 games? Because they were, by record, they were the best team in baseball. Did they win the World Series? Were the Dodgers guaranteed a World Series in 2022 and 2023 when they were better than they are right now in the regular season? No. It's not as simple as that. It doesn't come down to one day, one series, one week, one month. There's teams that slide into the postseason, Texas Rangers a couple of years ago. There's teams that limped into postseasons, the Phillies as a six seed when they beat the Padres in the 2023 NLCS. So listen, I can tell you how I feel, and I can tell you about reading tea leaves, and I feel the energy from the fan base, and I get the skepticism. Of course I do. And me and Jim are as real as it gets. Like, I'm a realist with this stuff, but I would never discount any team, truthfully, once the postseason starts. There is a second season. It's a legitimate thing. And like I said, with the NCAA tournament, with the baseball postseason expanding as wide as it is, you get teams like wild card winners that win World Series, and it happens routinely. You have teams that have pedestrian regular seasons. Nationals of 2019, one of those Giants wild card teams that won the World Series in the 2010s, right? I mean, the Texas Rangers, were they a dominant team when they won the World Series? Were they a dominant regular season team when they won the World Series in 2023? I mean, there's so many examples that you can't just say, well, they lost to the White Sox, so they're going to lose to the Cubs. I have no clue what's going to happen, but I'm always amazed at like those definitive statements, especially in a sport like baseball, where the difference is a run. It's like a steal, a strike, or a ball. Like, I'm not willing to say that at all. I just don't like the way they're playing right now. And I have concerns beyond their game one starter. And I have concerns with the way that their pitching staff in general is falling behind, with the way the offense is performed by and large. So these are the things that are concerning and have to improve. Everyone understands that. They're not winning anything in the postseason. If this is their play, if this is their play in the postseason, they're not winning anything. If their play improves in the postseason, possible? Would we all agree? Is that possible that their play could improve? Is it possible that Nick Pivetta can start a game and the Padres cannot fall behind in the first inning? Is that possible? is it possible Fernando Tatis Jr. has two hits and an RBI double? I mean, all these things are feasible and possible. I get it. Like the tea leaves aren't great, but I'm not writing off the Padres just because they're not winning this division or they're not playing well right now. William, thank you. He says, when C starts to go sideways, he unravels. This offense doesn't look good enough to beat Imanaga and Boyd in Chicago. No, it doesn't. 100%. You're right. So that's on them. You know, it's on them to prove that they are. And here's the other thing. If the offense isn't good enough to beat Boyd in Chicago, then Pivetta needs to match Boyd. Simple as that. You know, they're not going to be, you're not going to run into back-to-back shutouts. I say that happened with the Dodgers last year, but by and large, you're not going to run into back-to-back shutouts. You're not going to have to be perfect if you're Nick Pivetta. The Padres offense hasn't been that anemic where they're incapable of scoring. Even look at the month of September. It's not like they're averaging one run per game. I don't know what they're averaging in September, but it's not two runs per game. Shoot, the Mets before the Mets Padres series were averaging 2.7 runs per game over their final or their previous nine games. And they were still averaging nearly three runs per game. So the point is the point, which is you're going to need better starting pitching. And the expectation is guys like Boyd and Imanaga are going to pitch effectively. Therefore, you need to be able to match that. Or you need to find something that they haven't found by and large with consistency this year, specifically against left-handed starting pitching. But listen, it's a short series. It's best of three. They were an underdog in 2022 against the New York Mets heading into that postseason. They were an underdog against the LA Dodgers in 2022 after they beat the Mets in that wild card series. So my point is many more crazier things have happened than the Padres winning a best of three series, even with the way that they're playing right now. We'll get back to this conversation here in a moment. I want to thank our title sponsor in the wrap-up show, our good friend Mark Nimitz, who is a dear friend, in fact. And I've got three insurance policies through Mark. He's come through for my family time and time again. He'll do the same for you and your family as well, whatever it is. I've got homeowners. I've got life. I've got earthquake insurance through Mark. He does auto as well. If he can save you money, he will. In addition, he's got great service and communication. I had to file a claim a couple of years ago. He took care of everything. We're out of our house for 2 weeks. Everything was paid for. And he saved us so much time. He saved us so much money. So if you ever need Mark, he's going to be there for you. That's what separates him from the rest. And you can click the link in the description down below, get free quotes online, or call Mark. If you want to talk about the Padres or someone, like I talk to you guys about the Padres each and every night, call Mark Nimitz. He'll talk to you about the Padres. He's a diehard, lifelong Padres fan, native San Diegan, and huge supporter, of course, of the wrap-up show. So if you want free quotes, call him or click the link in the description down below. And before you renew your current policy, get in contact with Mark Nimitz at Farmers Insurance. All right, let me get this thing resituated.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers, but that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding Ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
There it is. Resituated. All right. John Schaefer with you on the wrap-up show. Let's reset for a moment. Padres lose in Chicago to the lowly White Sox 4-3 tonight. They have 8 games remaining in the regular season. Their magic number to clinch a playoff spot remains 4, which is any combination of 4 wins or 4 losses from the team that is outside looking in currently from the postseason. So right now that's Cincinnati is the closest team on the outside looking in, which means if the Padres win 4 games, they're automatically in. If the Padres win 2 games and the Reds lose 2 games without anyone passing the Reds, that is enough. So, well, the magic number can't go higher than 4. So the magic number is 4, which means the Padres could go 2-6. The Reds could lose twice and the Padres are in the postseason. They could go 1-7. The Reds could lose 3 times. The Padres are in the postseason. You kind of get the point. Certainly, I think you'd prefer to secure the 5 seed to the 6 seed. The 6 seed is not outside, you know, the realm of possibility, although it's very unlikely. The Padres have the tiebreaker against the Mets. They would have to slip 4 games in the standings in the final 8 days. They're destined for the 5 seed. They're destined for the 5 seed. They will be playing the Cubs on September 30th. I think that's the day the National League postseason starts, or the postseason starts in general. They'll be playing the Cubs on September 30th. This much we know. Nick Pivetta will be on the mound. Matthew Boyd will be on the mound in all likelihood. We don't know what time the game's going to start. We don't know what the weather is, but that's where we're heading, right? That's where you're heading right now, to a Padres-Cubs best of 3 series at Wrigley Field in Chicago. I think that's exactly where we're heading. And if that's where they're heading, so be it. It's not like the worst fate in baseball history. I mean, you can make the argument that the draw is preferred over the being the 3 seed, because the 3 seed would be locking up at the Phillies potentially in that NLDS, where the winner of the 4-5 is going to be potentially playing the Milwaukee Brewers, and the Brewers have not played well over the last month. Now, the caveat is you have to win the wild card round. So the advantage of being the 3 seed is you're going to be at home. The disadvantage of being the 5 seed is you're going to be on the road for that wild card series. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, truthfully. There's still another, you know, week. But I do feel as if the team feels some of what we feel in terms of watching this. Like that malaise that we've all felt. I felt it over the last couple of weeks. You guys heard me, I think, the day of the deadline. I said, fast forward this thing to the postseason. I want to see if AJ's plan works or not. Right now, it's not looking great. But like, I had kind of seen enough. I didn't need to see if they're going to be the 3 seed or the 4 seed. It was kind of inconsequential to me. What I needed to see was, can you put together a bullpen like this, and can that lead you further than it led you a year ago? Is this dominant bullpen going to be the differentiating factor? Well, the unfortunate part of it is we're never going to see the full extent of the bullpen because of the Jason Adam injury. We haven't seen the bullpen pitching at its best either with the high leverage pieces outside of Mason Miller. Adrian Morejon would be in there, but Estrada's obviously taken that huge step back, and Robert Torres has been very susceptible. So I said it 6 weeks ago, like, get this thing to the postseason. It's like, you don't want to fast forward when you're having a good year, but like, you know, it's a fine year. They're going to be a postseason team. They deserve, you know, to make the postseason, I think, based on their body of work. And now I'm kind of ready for the postseason. I just wonder if they're kind of feeling the same thing, which is, we kind of know where we're heading. Now, the disappointing part of that is that we could have had this conversation 2 weeks ago. And if I was talking to the Padres, I'd be like, yo, as opposed to going through the motions here, yeah, you're making the postseason, but you can win this division and it's going to matter. Because at home, you're one of the top 5 teams in baseball. And on the road, you're not. You're a middling team on the road, especially against good teams. They're 10-24 this year on the road against playoff teams. I think they're 1-11 now in series against playoff teams on the road. 1-11 in series against playoff teams on the road. So again, is that a good indicator for Chicago? No, it's a terrible indicator, obviously, for Chicago. But remember, you got to be careful with past performance being anything to like be indicative of future results. Like, okay, they lost a series to the Mets. Okay, they lost a series at Dodger Stadium. Okay, they lost a series to the Cubs at Wrigley the first week of April. Like, it was half a year ago. Like, I remember I was in Palm Springs. I did a show, I remember, for one of those games. I think Merrill went. I mean, it feels like forever ago. Forever ago. So maybe it's going to matter when the postseason starts, or maybe it won't. And if it doesn't matter, what are people going to say? They say, oh, they beat the Cubs, but they went 1-11 in series against playoff teams in the regular season. Nobody's going to care that they went 1-11 against playoff teams in series in the regular season. All they're going to care about is what happens in October, or the final day of September and the first day of October. So I think we all agree with that. And listen, these formats can be cruel. I mean, you could be out in two games. I mean, someone's going to be out in two games in baseball, and another team is going to make a run. Like, Kevin Acey was with me today, John and Jim, and I completely agree with this point. It's like, listen, there's going to be a team that does something this postseason that is unexpected. I mean, that's basically a guarantee. Out of the five seeds in the American League of the National League and the six seeds in the American League and the National League, guess what? One or more of those teams is going to move on. Like, right? Don't you agree? I think last year, three of the four teams moved on. So there's almost like an inevitability to it. Like, teams are going to move on that aren't expected to move on. And hopefully that's San Diego. And if it is, great. And if it's not, it's going to be a very long offseason. And there's going to be a lot of dissecting, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about what needs to change. And we're too far in front of that, because the difference between winning against the Cubs and losing against the Cubs is a huge difference. Because if they win, then you're running a lot of it back. And if you lose, I don't know what it's going to necessarily represent. But there's a long way between now and then, and not in sheer time. I mean, we might be talking about just obviously a handful of days, but it's not necessary to put the cart in front of the horse as of now, is it? I don't think it is. You know, and it's not my point here in the last couple of days. If you've been listening to John and Jim or watching the wrap-up show, and even with some of Jim's commentary, like, my point now is not to talk people off the ledge. My point is just to present both sides of it. Like, when it's going great, I would tell you the same thing. I mean, if the Padres are cruising into the postseason, went 10-1 in their last 11 games, does that assure them that they're not going to be upended or upset? No, of course it doesn't. Would you prefer the momentum? Yeah, I would prefer the momentum heading into the postseason. But, like, there are no guarantees this time of year, is my point. And shit, a team that's like the Mets, that's played like crap, can win in LA, right? Or a team like the Padres that has not played well down the stretch could win in Chicago. Something like that will happen. Trust me, there will be upsets in the 2025 Major League Baseball postseason. And if there isn't, I would be shocked. That to me would be way more surprising than the opposite. It just would. If you guys disagree, that's fine. I mean, listen, you can disagree. I mean, I can't give you anything other than my honest opinion. So if you disagree, you can disagree. I'm not forcing you to be here. All right, Lucky Box. Make sure to use our promo code if you want to take advantage of a Lucky Box machine the next time you're in Vegas, coming to Southern California. They're in major metropolitan cities. They're in major airports like O'Hare. If you're going to see the Padres and the Cubs, if you're there right now for Padres and White Sox, make sure to check out a Lucky Box in O'Hare and use our promo code Padres, all lowercase. And if you use our promo code, you're getting $5 off. I was in Vegas, picked up a Toddy Auto 10. This puppy spit out of that machine. So you're going to get a mystery sports card. If you want a sports card, you can get a mystery Pokemon card. If you want a Pokemon card, you can get a mystery autographed jersey as well. And again, if you want $5 off, just use our promo code PADRES, the word Padres, all lowercase. Really cool product. You're going to absolutely love it. The next time you see one, you basically have to use the promo code. You got to take advantage. I know a lot of San Diegans are in Vegas. I know a lot of San Diegans and Padres fans are going to be in Chicago for the postseason. So find one. They're coming to Southern California. Use the promo code Padres, all lowercase. Take advantage and get $5 off. If you're looking for where they're located, by the way, go to luckyboxvending.com or click the link in the description down below. You can win some amazing, amazing products with their holy grails. You can win like Fernando Tatis Jr. autographed cleats, or Messi autographed jerseys, or Messi cards, or Patrick Mahomes jerseys. I mean, they have some unbelievable products in these machines. So take advantage. Use the promo code Padres, all lowercase. All right, let's see what else. Yeah, I mean, is the point, like, I don't understand, like, is the point that you guys know that you know how the season's going to end? Then why would you be watching? And I've made this point too, like, so you've watched for 154 games and you're punting now. It's kind of an interesting time to punt, is it not? You've watched for 154 games and you know how the book ends. You've seen it. You can tell me how this thing ends. That's pretty impressive, because if you do, you better go to Vegas. Forget Lucky Box. Bring your wallet if you know how this thing ends. You can make a lot of money if you know how this thing ends. So don't fool yourself in thinking you know something that nobody has any clue how this thing ends. We don't know how Nick Pivetta is going to throw game one of the postseason. We don't know how Matthew Boyd's going to throw. We have no clue what's going to happen in the postseason. You can think you know, but this sport is a very humbling game. You watch this thing as much as I've watched in my life, and a lot of you have watched. You see things you do not expect to occur. So that's just, I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, this isn't freaking Lake Placid, like U.S. versus Russia. I mean, it's really not. Like, if the Padres beat the Cubs in the postseason, is that at all shocking by baseball standards? No. Padres will have a 40% chance of winning the series. Flip a coin. You have a 50% chance. I mean, that's what it is. They're going to have a 40% chance of winning the series. Does that make it likely? No, it makes it unlikely. Does it make it impossible? No, because it happens 40% of the time. So that's what you're walking into in 8 days. And guess what? If they lose to the White Sox today and beat the Cubs in game one of the postseason, who cares about this White Sox game? The issue is the pieces you need to help you in the postseason are not giving you what's going to be necessary, obviously, a week from now. And I don't think it's as simple as just turning it on. And I don't think anyone thinks it's as simple as just, quote unquote, turning it on. The faith in Dylan Cease has been lost, but it was lost well before tonight. This lineup has left a lot to be desired, as we've talked about repeatedly. The slug factor that has plagued them for the better part of the entire season. So there's a lot of concerns. I mean, we've talked about, you know, Ryan O'Hearn's struggles since coming over, but it goes so much beyond that. It's like you haven't gotten the best of Manny Machado by and large. I know he's homered, I think, three times in his last six games. You haven't gotten the best of Fernando Tatis Jr. by and large. You haven't gotten the best of Jackson Merrill by and large, although he's been way better over the last 2 weeks. Same thing with Luis Arraez, who's, you know, hitting in the 280s, not in the 320s, for example. So again, it's like the contributors or the contributions you were looking for from some of these players hasn't been what you were expecting. So that alone is obviously problematic. And then the pieces that you thought you knew something about, Michael King, your bullpen. Well, King, unfortunately, has dealt with injuries, and your bullpen has now dealt with injuries with like a David Morgan and a Jason Adams. So it's like, yeah, believe me, I would prefer to be talking about a team, regardless of record, that had a Fernando Tatis Jr. with 38 home runs and a Jackson Merrill with 28 home runs and a Dylan Cease with a 3.1 ERA and a healthy Jason Adam. That would be my preference too. I mean, that should be everyone's preference right now, but we don't live in that world. So now it's like, is there enough here, or can they find something to put together some type of successful postseason? And I don't have the answer to that. I mean, it's going to go one way or the other. We'll all watch that play out in real time in the days ahead. I mean, it's not really anything that's going to be shocking either way. I mean, is anyone going to be shocked if the Padres lose the Cubs? No. Is anyone going to be shocked if the Padres beat the Cubs? In my opinion, you shouldn't be. So it's going to play out in real time. But yeah, I mean, I get the concern because I'm watching the same games that everyone else is watching. So I definitely get the concern. And the Dylan Cease thing, I mean, you just kind of, I don't even know what to say about that. Again, you've kind of seen the last of him potentially in a Padres uniform. You hope that you haven't, because if you see him a lot more, it means they're winning in the postseason and maybe he's contributing in the postseason. But you got to have someone start the second game of the playoff series. Like, you're not going to a bullpen. You ain't doing the bullpen game in game two. So if someone's got to, like, you know, pull out a straw, like, who's it going to be? Is it Michael King? Is it Yu Darvish? Is it Dylan Cease? I mean, who the hell is it going to be? It's got to be someone. I joked today on Twitter. I said, is it Cease, King, Darvish, me? And I think I won the vote, like 50% of the vote. So, yeah, I mean, someone's got to start game two. And right now, unfortunately, nobody's really taken that and given you confidence that they're capable of pitching well in that spot. And I think that's a huge concern. I think it's a massive concern. And you don't feel confident that you're going to get bailed out by your offense when you walk into a game with, you know, with Dylan Cease on the mound on the road. And you know that he's going to give up 4 runs in 5 innings. And now you need your offense to score 4 runs in 5 innings. Like, that's not easy. That's not easy to deal with. So game one will obviously be pivotal because you're going to have as good of a chance as you're going to get with Nick Bivett on the mound. So game one's going to be pivotal. And from there, if you can get that, try to get one of the next two, obviously. I mean, I even go back to that St. Louis series in 2020. They lost game one at home. They had no one to pitch in game three. They used 9 relievers in 9 innings and somehow won the game. Like, that was more improbable than what we're asking the Padres to do right now in 2020, in 2025. Honestly, I think that was probably more improbable. All right. Do want to remind you guys about our friends over at SeatGeek. As you know, with SeatGeek, you can use our promo code and get $20 off your next order of $50 or more. So use our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. You're going to get $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more at SeatGeek. You heard me right. $20 off your first purchase with promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP. Just click the link in the description, download the app, and have the code automatically added to your account so you can use it later. And we do want to thank our friends over at SeatGeek. Padres, of course, getting home for the Brewers. This will be, what, Monday night? You can get in for cheap. You can get in for cheap Monday night. Not that cheap, $47 with fees. So a pair of tickets for $94. Take $20 off. That's $74 for two tickets. Final homestand of the year. Shoot, we might not see the Padres beyond this week at home based on everyone that's in here tonight in the chat. We might not see them beyond this week. So if you want to see the Padres before the end of the season, again, they're going to open on the road. And then even if they win that series, their first two games of the NLDS would be on the road. So beyond this week, you might not see the Padres at home for a while. So make sure to get there. Click the link in the description down below. Use our promo code PADSWRAP. That's PADSWRAP and get $20 off your first purchase of $50 or more. Oh. Oops. What is going on? Well, we'll go with this for now. I don't know what's going on, but bear with me. I'm having some technical issues. Jada Gacho, appreciate you, man. He says, prepare for the Cubs practicing their bunts. You think the Padres will be preparing for the Cubs to bunt, or the Cubs will be preparing for the Padres bunting? I think it's probably the latter. But yeah, that's it's probably true. It's probably true. There's going to be some bunting practice, I'm sure, for the Cubs heading into that series because that's basically a strength right now of the Padres offense. So I would agree with that. JD's third says, I'm not worried about pitching. The offense is the worry and how anemic it has been outside the series with the Rockies and zero slug. Yeah, I know. I get it. I mean, what are they, 7-10 overall in September? 5 of the wins are against Colorado. So, yeah, I mean, the offense has left a lot to be desired. There have been stretches. Early August, you got Laureano. He kind of carried you. Sheets at times here in the second half obviously has carried you. O'Hearn had some moments early. He has really fallen off. Again, you've had some moments in here, but you haven't had what you've been looking for consistently out of the offense. Everyone agrees with that. There's no doubt. I think everyone agrees with that overall point. So it's almost like – I made this analogy recently, right? It's like you're plugging a hole in something that's leaking, like a boat, like it's sinking, and you plug a hole and then another one pops up. Like, that's what it feels like a little bit with the Padres. But also, it also feels like it's the same thing over and over again. I mean, they're down 2 runs a lot, and they're giving up first and second inning home runs a lot. So like it's almost like deja vu all over again, where it's like, every game you're getting something similar. I think Mike Schilt said something comparable to that, right? Along the lines of, it's the same, like we need to flip the script because the script is playing out in the same manner, you know, trailing, not getting length from starters, giving up the long ball, which to me is like perplexing. They were not a team that was allowing a lot of home runs in the first half of the year. Like that was not what this pitching staff was known for. Even the starting pitching, I mean, that was not a storyline. That was not a talking point. I've done a show, 125 shows this year. The first 100, we weren't talking about that. And now it's all we talk about, you know? And I don't, again, I made the point it's kind of self-fulfilling. I don't know why it's playing out the way in which it's playing out. But it's like the adage, you can't have enough of the starting pitching. We felt it with the King injury. You're without Joe Musgrove for an entire year. I advocated to hold on to Dylan Cease. I still would have, because are you better off if you didn't have him? How? I mean, where do they even turn? So the starting pitching thing is always like, at the end of the day, when you think about it, when the 2020 season ended, why did it end? They ran out of starting pitching. Mike Clevenger's hurt, right? They have no starting pitching. When the 2022 season ends, why does it end? Because they have no starting pitching. Shaumann is bad. Mike Clevenger's bad. In 2024, why does it end? It's on your offense, seemingly, although obviously Cease on 3 days rest because you didn't have Joe Musgrove. Like, the Musgrove thing was massive in 2024. So, like, again, you've kind of have run out of starting pitching. And then, of course, last year what we heard was, well, do you need starting pitching to win a World Series? Look at the Dodgers. They did it with, on the backs by and large, of two starting pitchers, with Jack Flaherty and Yoshinobu Yamamoto. But my counter to that right now with the Padres is like, well, who's even their second starter? So, like, you can't be winning World Series with one starter. Like, someone would have to emerge. It's hard for me to see Yu Darvish all of a sudden turn back the clock and be a 30-year-old and make four highly effective postseason starts. I just can't even deal with the idea of Dylan Cease throwing in a meaningful game on the road, because he's been ineffective in non-meaningful games on the road. King, you have so much faith. If he was fully healthy all year, I mean, that you'd feel great about Michael King. But unfortunately, that's not what's played out, and you can't control health, unfortunately. So, I mean, I just lack faith because I haven't seen it from King, and he's been dealing with this injury. So that's honestly, that's more of what it boils down to for me than offense. Like, you can get by with a mid offense with elite pitching, but their pitching, which the expectation heading into the year was that it was going to be better than it's turned out to be. And that's more of a concern for me. Like, you can win with pitching in October. It's harder to win with offense in October going up against good pitching. So you can win with pitching. The problem is, do they have enough pitching for them to win with this October? JD Gasha, thank you. Says, would you trust Randy Vasquez in a game three start? Well, it doesn't matter if I would trust him or not. Mike Schilt doesn't. I mean, Mike Schilt yesterday took him out in the third inning of a 2-1 game. So if he's doing that, there's no world in hell where Randy Vasquez is starting, unless it's to face three batters for some, you know, I'll play chess when everyone else is playing checkers type experience. So I don't see a world in which that happens based on how they've used Vasquez. He's been down in AAA as recently as in the last month. He has the shortest leash on the staff. So that would be very surprising to me. I mean, listen, it's one of those things that when you get there, you're probably feeling decent because you're in that spot, right? I mean, if you're getting to a third game, you've obviously already won once, and now there's immense pressure both ways, but I would probably say even more on the home team in that spot. And who knows what you would do in a third game. I mean, you could get cute. You could go true bullpen game. You could, again, go super short leash with someone like Darvish or Cease, try to get two innings or one time through an order with someone like Darvish or Cease, and then go right to Adrian Morejon for six outs, and then right to Mason Miller for six outs, and then right to Robert Suarez for three outs. And that's your final five innings in that hypothetical. So, I mean, there's some ways to manage it. Anytime you're in a decisive game, a winner-take-all game, throw everything out the window. Like, once you get to a third game in a best of three or a fifth game or a seventh game, you get the point, throw it all out the window. And I think you can get pretty creative, and that's where your bullpen actually probably can be a potential real, real weapon and strength. But I don't see a Randy Vasquez starting a game. I could see Randy Vasquez being hidden for three outs somewhere, maybe, in a three-game series, although I'm even skeptical of that. Maybe more in a five-game series, that's a possibility. It does give you length. You may want to have him on your roster, because if you're up eight or down eight, then maybe he serves a role. And again, he's been fine for this team. He hasn't been bad. His numbers are fine. Like, it feels like they should be more trustworthy with him than they've been. So I agree with the sentiment. Like, hey, he's got a sub-4 ERA. He's given them opportunities to be in games. Their overall record when he pitches is good. I completely agree with that sentiment, but I don't see it. And yeah, I think ultimately, I think it probably would be some type of variation of a bullpen game, even if they went with a traditional starter. Like, I'd be very skeptical or surprised if they stuck with a starter more than like one time through an order. Maybe they would if it was like Darvish and it was, you know, the first 10 batters he faced, he retired 9 of them, you know, and was unscored upon in 3 innings. Or the same thing with Dylan Cease. So like if you retire 9 of the first 10, then you get the 11th, 12th, and 13th batters potentially. But the leash would be so short and you'd want to go to high leverage arms as quickly as you possibly can, especially obviously if you get a lead. But even in a tie game, you'd want to keep it tied as long as possible and give your offense a chance. So, you know, and then there's this point about these guys have not been great. I mean, shoot, I work with a Cubs fan. You know, our producer on John and Jim is a diehard, lifelong Cubs fan. And he says in the breaks, like, what's so funny is the way Padres fans talk about the Padres is the way Cubs fans talk about the Cubs. I'm like, that's the thing. People get so insular and they're so focused on one team, especially in baseball, which is so localized. Nobody's sitting around watching the Cubs every night. Be honest with me. You're not watching the Cubs. And the things that we're saying about the Padres, Cubs fans are saying about the Cubs. Yeah, they've played better in September than the Padres. It's true. But they're not invincible. And I'm sure a lot of their fans have question marks about their chances in October, just like Padres fans have question marks about their chances in October. So it's kind of funny the way, you know, it works. And it's like the same thing, man. I mean, we interact with Dodger fans each and every day. I'm having Dodger fans freaking text me and email me, tell me, I don't know why Padres fans are saying this about their team. Have you seen our team? I'm having those interactions in supermarkets. People are coming up to me saying, this ain't it. Like, there's something wrong with this team. They're talking about the Dodgers. I'm like, I am talking these people off the ledge. So it's like, you think it's a San Diego specific issue. Maybe for the last 2 weeks it has been. They haven't played well. But the Dodgers since the 1st of July, I think, are still under 500. That might change at some point here late in September. So it's not just a San Diego issue, is my point. All right, guys, make sure to take advantage of our promo code with our friends over at Underdog Fantasy, the best and easiest place to play fantasy sports. Use our promo code PODSWRAP, PADSWRAP. Get $50 in bonus funds when you play just $5, plus get a 50% deposit match up to $1,000, plus get a free gimme pick. And what does a free gimme pick look like? It looks like higher or lower than a half total plate appearance for Manny Machado, for example, tomorrow. So you take the free pick, you pair it with any other play across NFL, WNBA, Major League Baseball, college football, so on and so forth. And you can win big. You can win up to 5,000 times your money in a single night. So take advantage of our promo code PODSWRAP. Click the link in the description down below. And you get not one, not two, but three great offers. The $50 in bonus funds by playing $5, the 50% deposit match up to $1,000, and the free gimme pick with our friends, again, at Underdog Fantasy. All right. Yeah, like, look at this. Cubs are hitting .222 their last 28 games. And there's some lock. You know, they're not a lock. None of these teams are locks. Like, tell me a wild card lock. And if you have it, go to Vegas and go make yourself a lot of money. But how many times have you heard people that cover this sport for a living be like, this thing's wide open. This thing's completely wide open. I made the point earlier, I think on John and Jim, there's no team at Fangraphs with a better than 14% chance of winning the World Series, which means every team has an 86% chance of not winning the World Series. Yet someone's going to win the World Series. You know, so that's the thing. So again, I think a lot of teams and their fan bases are going to be highly skeptical of their teams heading into the postseason. There's going to be fan bases that are through the moon excited. Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Toronto. But there's going to be a lot that are skeptical, and there's going to be teams that make runs, and hopefully that's San Diego. J.D. Gatcher, thank you, man. He says, you can slug your way to a World Series. Freeman, Teoscar, Mookie, and Edmund proved that in 2024. Yeah, exactly. And that's not going to happen with this Padres team. Like, we all agree. So, yes. And also, you can win, by the way, with small ball. Look at the Royals 10 years ago. Look at the Giants 15 years ago. Like, you can win without slug, but you better have it all put together with elite starting pitching and elite back-end bullpen, right? So, yeah, I agree. I mean, the Padres will not slug their way to a World Series. The Padres can use slug to their advantage if they run into it, but that is not going to be their path to winning a World Series. Their path to winning a World Series is scoring first, sitting on leads, and getting dominant pitching efforts in general, whether it's from their starters like Pivetta or from relievers like Mason Miller. They're going to have to go above and beyond. And where Miller maybe was typically going three or four outs. Maybe he's asked to go five or six. And maybe there's one outing where someone's going, you know, seven plus outs in one of those games. So I agree. Slug matters. It's still rare to win by just out slugging people series after series in the postseason. I think that's more an exception than the rule. I'd rather rely on pitching than I would rely on slug in the postseason, but make no mistake. I mean, slug's going to help. It can bail you out. It really can bail you out. All right, let's do this again Sunday night. We'll take Saturday off as we typically do. And Jim will be back, I believe, on Sunday night. So join us Sunday at 9:30. We'll react to this White Sox series. We'll see where the Padres currently sit in terms of their chances to clinch a postseason spot. They can't clinch before Sunday, and that would require two wins and two Reds losses, I think. So there's a very good chance they don't clinch until next week, but we'll do it again Sunday night. We'll look ahead to the final week of the regular season. We'll look ahead once again to the postseason as well. So if you've been here, you know the deal. Please subscribe. Year-round content for you. Smash the like button for me. You can follow me on X at John Schaefer. Thank you for the super thanks if you are here on replay. And thank you for your support of our partners as well, whether it's our title sponsor, Mark Nimitz, our friends at Lucky Box and SeatGeek and Underdog and Hamul Casino as well. For Jim, I'm John. Padres lose in Chicago. Game two is Saturday, and this has been the wrap-up show. Thanks, guys.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.